Hello, this is Brandon.
And I'm Justine.
And this is the Cozy Co-op, a video game podcast where a creative journalist... creative writer and a video game journalist talk about video games. Hi, Justine.
Hi, Brandon.
How are you?
I'm tired.
Yeah, I feel it. It's been a long day.
10:30.
We're busy people. We gotta make time sometimes.
I know. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Also kind of tired. We're talking about Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor, right? That's
yes.
It? That's the combo? Or is it Shadow of Mordor, Middle Earth? No, it's Middle Earth.
Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah.
Do you want me to get my iPad so you have a screen closer to you?
Got a paper.
Why did you print it off, you nerd?
Because I didn't want to forget. Okay, so, three bits of news here for you. Ready?
Yep.
Cyberpunk 2077. The upcoming sci-fi RPG.
Yeah, I heard about it.
By CD Projekt Red, The Witcher people. Two things about that. First one is, it's intended for current-gen consoles.
Okay.
Meaning, they're making it for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. There was concern that by the time this game is done, the new generation will be out, and this will be for that.
Yeah.
But no, it's coming to current gen. They don't gotta worry.
Okay.
The other thing is that they're tired of people talking about Siri. Not the phone program. There's a character in The Witcher that has... Well, mild Witcher spoilers, by the way. She has to be hidden. So they hide her in a different dimension and in a different world. And she describes this world. And she describes it as basically the future. Because, like, people wear metal on their heads and they wage war from afar. And instead of having horses, they have flying ships.
Okay.
So she's describing, like, a modern futuristic environment.
Yeah.
So people are all going, oh my god, is she going to show up in the Witcher? Or no. Is she going to show up in Cyberpunk 2077?
No.
In an interview with the developers, they asked, can we expect to see her? And they're like, oh god, I hate this question. Phrase, like, that's exactly what he said. I hate this question.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want that. Like, no, we're not doing some... We're not Kingdom Hearts, was the phrase he said. Because they don't want to do these crossovers.
Okay.
So he doesn't want it in there.
What if it's just a red herring, and they actually are putting her in the game, and they were mad that people caught on too fast?
Now, knowing what I know about video game communities, I absolutely believe that this man is very tired of hearing this.
Yeah, true.
So that's happening. Other thing, Nintendo has partnered up with Disney to create a video game TV show. The best part, technically it's esports.
Okay.
It's called the Nintendo Switch Family Showdown, where four families will be pit against each other in a game show setting, playing games on the Nintendo Switch. So it'll be like, some of the examples they listed was Mario Tennis Aces,
nice,
or collecting coins in Super Mario Odyssey, or just a dance-off in Just Dance.
Yes! I need
now,
the Just Dance.
I'm sure we're probably going to see Mario Party in there somewhere.
Yeah, what about Smash?
I'm wondering if Smash will be a part of that. That does make me wonder.
Could get violent.
Because it is the most ambitious crossover of all time, of course.
Yes.
So that's happening. It's going to be on Disney XD, and I guess their mobile outlet or whatever. I would watch it if I had a more convenient way, but since I don't have cable.
Yeah.
Like, plus, I don't really feel like watching a show. Nothing gets more family friendly than Disney and Nintendo teaming
up.
Last bit of news. This one I thought was funny. The American doll, or the American Girl Doll Company, has partnered with Microsoft to bring a Xbox One S accessory pack for your American doll.
What?
This $50 pack comes with the following, right? A miniature Xbox One X TM.
Oh my god.
an Xbox One S controller, two games with cartridges that you can put in the console, and I guess it projects a game image, a gaming headset, and one of those weird, like, rocky chairs that, you know, baby boomers think every gamer owns.
Rocky chair?
Yeah, with like it's like a J shape, and it's just on the ground and
oh,
rocks.
Oh yeah, I knew people gaming who chairs. Those.
Yeah, one of those.
Are you acting like nobody has those?
I think not as many people as people think.
Okay. Well, I guess it had to happen sooner or later.
Now gaming chairs have gone the way of like kind of like what you're sitting on, but like all big and sleek.
We're not talking about the chairs anymore.
Oh, right. Yeah, so, yeah, Microsoft with American Doll.
Yeah, American Girl Doll.
American Girl Doll. You want to know my favorite part?
What's your favorite
part? Doesn't come with a doll.
Well, no, it's just an accessory
pack. It's an accessory pack. So if you want your own gamer girl, you need to create your own.
It surprises me that it's only $50.
Well, that's, yeah, right? Whereas...
Because, like, the doll is $50.
Nah.
Not anymore.
A create your own doll, which you'd have to... Unless you want to have, you know, horse riding Catherine... play video games.
That's not but one of them.
To do, I don't know.
My girl was Felicity.
Okay. I don't know.
And Elena liked the Native American one. I cannot remember. Oh, I also like Samantha.
That's a name.
Listen, you didn't grow up with American Girl dolls. You are not allowed to make fun of them.
I'm not. This is me expressing pure ignorance.
You know what? You know what I had in abundance, though?
What's that?
Coconut in all her merch.
Coconut?
Coconut was the little, I believe she was like a, I don't think she was a Scotty dog. She might have been.
Okay, it's a dog.
Yeah. There was also Licorice, which I also had, which was a little black cat.
And these are like American Girl accessories?
They're American Girl pets, and then you can get all of their stuff. So I had the dog house, like the plush reversible dog house. I had little play sets and outfits for Coconut, and I had like the brush and wash set, and I'd never had an American Girl doll, but I definitely had the pets.
Okay.
I might actually still have all my Coconut stuff in my attic.
Well,
so if I was a little girl now, I would want this Xbox setup for my American Girl gamer.
I believe you. To create your own American doll.
Molly was also a favorite. Continue.
The like the create your own doll option. $200.
Yep.
You can get.
That's why it surprises me. This whole like Xbox thing is only $50.
Well, yeah, like, the doll costs more than getting an Xbox One.
Yeah,
you can get an Xbox One with like one random game bundle for I think $170 right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, American Girl, gamer girl, Xbox TM. So that's news.
Shadow of Mordor.
Shadow of Mordor.
So, not to be confused with Shadows of Mordor, Game 2 of Lord of the Rings, which is a text adventure game for the Commodore 64 that came out.
I love me a good text adventure.
Don't know when it came out, but not currently. But my favorite part, because I discovered this when I went to the Shadow of Mordor wiki, and the very first line was not to be confused with Shadows of Mordor. And so I had to click it, of course. I was like, what is this? And my favorite line of the wiki for that is like two sentences long. And my favorite sentence in it is the game focuses on Frodo and Sam on their journey to Mordor to destroy the One Ring. And this game is considered an improvement over its predecessor, though still not on par with The Hobbit. But there's a little like notation as Wikipedia does. Instead of a number, it just says by whom. When it says the game is considered an improvement.
By whom?
By whom?
You ever see The Hobbit text adventure?
No.
It's interesting. I watched these one people play through it. They just killed everyone. Immediately.
Oh.
Like, apparently, you can just attack, like, Pippin. And,
Pippin's
like...
not in The Hobbit.
He was in this game.
Are you sure about that?
Maybe it wasn't the Hobbit one. Maybe it was the Lord of the Rings one. Maybe it was Game 1. I'll double check. Either way, these text adventures, they were something. They were...
Okay.
Their freedom was scary, actually.
Speaking of freedom, Shadow of Mordor is an open world game.
Oh, that's where you were going with that transition. Yeah, which...
They were not kidding.
I mean, I don't really actually have much to say about that aspect.
I do.
Because the world felt very the same to me.
Yes.
So, it could have... You could have easily just had me do a short load screen to each particular encampment, and I feel like it wouldn't have made a difference to me.
It would have to me, because then I would have known I was going into a different area. I did not know. That was my issue with the... Okay, so when someone told me, this is an open world Middle-earth game, you get to run around in Shadow of Mordor and be a character in Middle-earth, and I thought, oh, fantastic, I get to run around Middle-earth. No, you get to run around Mordor, which is a barren wasteland full of enemies.
Yeah, there's no... I give them credit. It's a well-made world.
It's very good. It's very detailed.
But it is the same everywhere, so it's not really open world as much as open... Yeah, open Mordor.
Well, I mean, I really give them credit because, yes, it is open world. Like, Dragon Age Inquisition...
By definition.
...boasted being open world, but you had to unlock each region by region, and they were basically level zones. That's not necessarily the case in Shadow of Mordor. You can level yourself up and level up your equipment and stuff. And I'll talk about that later because it's my other favorite part of the game.
But if you go to the wrong place too early, you will get smacked down.
Yeah, because I didn't know anything. There's not really a guide for the map or what you're doing.
They tell you, like, your controls, and then they let you loose.
And they tell you that your objective is to take down war chiefs.
Captains first,
and then you take down war chiefs. And, like, that's all you know. And, so, yeah, you can... There is no barriers involved here. You just run around, and I would find myself, like, three regions over, having not realized I went that far. And I found myself inside of a fortress. Didn't even realize I was going into a fortress. I just saw this scaffolding and stuff everywhere and then realized I was closed in.
I've done that. I'll be like, oh, I'm going to run this way to hide. And then I see I've entered.
And then I'm just like in the middle of it all. So where my opinion comes in, because I know this is probably just me being a weak gamer.
A weak gamer.
But one of the things that put me off was it's open world, but there aren't any safe zones. So the safest place you can go is up in the towers that are your checkpoints, because no one can get you up there. That's basically Wraith Zone.
These towers are kind of like the eagle eye points in like Assassin's Creed.
Yes, it's very Assassin's Creed-esque.
There's a lot of Assassin's. The combat style is very similar.
The climbing and the towers.
The climbing mechanics, the towers. I mean, you can see the whole map already, right? No, you can't. That's right.
You kind of can.
But you see more when you get to these towers. Yes. Which act as like fast travel spots.
Yes. So that's your safest point, but otherwise, like, even hiding spots aren't necessarily safe because you have orcs wandering around everywhere, and this is not a situation where you memorize the patrol routes because they just walk around.
Yeah, you can, if you have a goal in a spot, you can, like, watch the patrols and figure it out there, but if you've been caught and you're trying to run away, you might as well just run in a direction for a while.
I would just sprint. Yeah, that's how I would find myself three regions over, because I would just sprint.
I'd gotten that one perk where after you do, like, a vault and a jump, it gives you the little speed boost.
Yeah.
And I'd gotten that explicitly because, like, okay, yeah, this will come in handy when having to skitter away.
So we kind of jumped into the thick of it, but the basic premise of this game, developed by Monolith Productions, published by Warner Brothers Interactive. You control a character named Talion, who is one of the Rangers. Now, if you're not familiar with Lord of the Rings lore, Rangers are not just someone who picked up a bow. Rangers are a very, like, dedicated group of people, like Aragorn, but I believe Aragorn at the time was, like, head of the Northern Rangers or something. But they are very sturdy. They're very good survivalists. They hunt orcs.
Yeah.
A lot. And at the beginning of this game, I liked the tutorial bits because your tutorial was done very quickly.
It was.
And it was done with the story through flashbacks. So it's a little bit confusing if you're not quite keeping up, but you are Talion, and in the beginning, you're with your son, and you're doing sword training. So this is how you figure out how to wield your sword.
Yeah.
And then
how
this...
to attack, how to block, how to parry, repost.
Right. And this scene transitions very smoothly into an attack on the bridge of this, like, citadel or fortress or whatever this happens to be. And you and your son are fighting off orcs, so then you get to put this to use.
Yeah, because, like, once you finish doing the tutorial bit with your son as training, is when they go, okay, let's see you apply what you've just learned. Orcs have invaded.
Yes. And then you secure the bridge, and then you move on to go into the building, the big stone fortress. And this transitions back into a flashback where you're sneaking up on your wife to give her a present. And this teaches you the stealth and sneak features.
Mm-hmm.
So you do this, and you do the scene, and then that goes back into this invasion where you have to sneak up on orcs and stealth kill them.
Yeah, again.
Let's
apply
this.
Here's a new thing, and now you apply it.
Yeah, and then that's pretty much it for the tutorial stuff. There's two or three flashback scenes where you do tutorials, and that's all you need to know.
Well, that's because that's all you start with.
That's really all you need.
They didn't... Yeah, they... I actually want to give them a bit of a hard time, everything past that, because all of your new learning is then done with screens, info pop-ups, and splash screens, you know?
To an extent.
Like, it doesn't have any real... I wouldn't really say that they don't have any more explanations that are as well-crafted as those. So, like, the... upgrade system is just text.
Right, because there's not really a good way to show you that.
I can't quite recall how you learn your arrow, your bow and arrow.
I will say I do like that they did that at all initially, because when you jump in and all you get are text and splash screens, I'm like, okay, when am I going to get to the game? You immediately get to the game.
Oh, yeah.
You are immediately playing the game. So I don't mind as much when I'm already through the beginning portion and I'm into the actual game when it starts telling me, okay, here's the fine-tuning things. This is how you level up your equipment. This is how you level your character up. These are some things you might want to know about your special powers that you now have. But even if you ignore all of that, you can figure it out yourself, but they gave you the survival things. They gave you combat, they gave you stealth, they gave you block.
And I give them credit in that sense that with the way like their UI is designed and like your progression system is built, it's not hard to just kind of figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
So I don't think there was ever really a point where I was confused as to how something worked.
Yeah.
With the exception of the nemesis. Because I still don't fully understand the nemesis system.
So,
Or how to decapitate captains.
As you may have inferred already, Talion, as you're playing, you go through this invasion, no one survives. The orcs kill everyone. You watch them kill your son, you watch them kill your wife, and then they kill you. Here's where I'm less clear, and, apparently, reports were that everyone really liked this game for its mechanics and the way that it did everything, less so on the story. And I can understand that because for the majority of it, I didn't know what I was doing story-wise. I didn't understand what was going on. So I still don't know why Talion is alive now.
I think it was like he was going to be sacrificed to a deity.
Maybe.
And then...
to Sauron, probably.
I don't remember if it was Sauron. I just remember, like, they were going... because they were, like, doing these weird chanting with all the dead people, including him. And either something went wrong or something... you're right. I have no idea. I don't remember.
So, yeah, because the way it transitions is suddenly you're up and about and you're talking to this ghost man. And I don't know if it was just that... my volume was too low, and so I wasn't catching all the dialogue.
I mean, I have subtitles. I still didn't catch
it. I had subtitles, too. I still didn't really understand what the situation was. But now you're talking to a ghost guy, whose name is... Where is it?
Generic elf dude.
Celebrimbor.
Celebrimbor?
I believe that's how you pronounce it. I know it's a hard C because there's another elf in Lord of the Rings named Celeborn.
Ah.
Starts with a C. And so I looked at that and I was like, that's Tricky Tolkien there. Who's an actual character.
Tricky Tolkien?
No. Now, apparently, I did not know this. I don't know if it's ever said in the game. It probably is. It might even be a spoiler. I don't know. I only got through the beginning portion of the game. But this ghost elf is the smith manipulated by Sauron into forging the Rings of Power.
That makes sense, because at the top of the save point towers is an anvil.
There's an anvil, yes.
And, which he smacks.
Yes, in order to trigger your save point. He smacks that anvil. So
it's the slap.
It is the slap. So Celebrimbor, this is that quite
does not
a name.
Sound like a name.
Is
it sounds like what happens when you forget there's one extra step going down the stairs in the dark.
He's actually a very important character, which I didn't realize when playing. Because again, there's a lot of talking and not a lot of me understanding.
See, I guess you can, like, he doesn't remember either.
That is actually a big portion of it.
You gotta go around and, like, learn about your own past.
You have to learn about your own and what's going on in Mordor, and he has to learn about what happened to him and what happened before him, and you have to learn that, too. So, so you're bonded to this guy for whatever reason. So now you have, like, wraith powers.
Yeah.
So you can activate those whenever, which was fun for me, because I thought this was going to be, like, Focus in Jade Empire, where you activate it and then you run out of power. No, the only thing that you run out of is arrows in your wraith quiver. Well,
you run out of focus.
That's only, like...
I know, because I've had to upgrade my focus a few times because it kept running out.
There's focus that you use for aiming your arrow.
Oh, you're talking about the weird vision.
Full-on wraith mode. Like, yeah, you can, like, just flip over to that.
Okay, yeah. Because, like, there's a combat mechanic in this called focus, which activates when you're aiming your bow. And it puts you in, like, the dark wraith. Wrong game. It puts you in that weird wraith mode, but it also slows down time.
It gives you special... Well, the wraith mode itself gives you special sight, so you can see objects that you're trying to find.
Identify enemies.
Identify,
interactable items.
Yes.
It's basically like eagle sight, again.
Yeah.
Like in Assassin's Creed.
But it does make sense, because that's, they worked really closely with Warner Brothers Studios, Peter Jackson, and Weta Workshop in order to make this a very accurate sort of world to play in. Because, as is pretty widely agreed, Peter Jackson and Weta Workshop knocked it out of the park when they did the movies. So it's sort of the accepted canon of what everything looks like. So in order to have that, like, the game feel like that, they worked really closely together, and it really shows. And that is kind of how the wraith sight works whenever you see Frodo put on the ring in the movies, is
it looks,
certain things show up and other things
very
are
different.
Blurry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they did portray that really well in the game.
So I did like the fact that you can just switch over and just have it on and not worry about it draining or anything.
See, I like how Wraith the dude kind of human bashes when you learn this mechanic. Because I think you have to bring it up to follow Golem. Because you can see his footsteps.
Golem.
Golem is a Pokemon.
Golem is a Jewish mythological figure.
I always forget they're Jewish. Anyway.
Good talk.
I lost my train of thought now. Oh yeah, right. So you need to track... What's his name?
Golem.
Golem.
Two L's.
That doesn't make a difference in my mind.
Okay.
It's the vowels.
Okay.
And he says, "Why do you use your human eyes when I can see far greater?" Or something like that.
He's got his elf eyes.
Yeah.
Special elf eyes.
I think he said wraith eyes, specifically. But he basically said, "My eyesight's better than yours. Go into wraith mode."
Probably is.
You fool.
Yeah, he's a grumpy dude.
He is very grumpy. He's
very grumpy.
He reminds me of, like, the grandpa with the henpecked grandfather, you know?
He just reminds me of a very angry individual.
He seems mad. Like he's mad because he has to go fix the doghouse shed.
Yeah. So I think a lot of his problem is he also doesn't, like, know what's going on, really. But you are in Mordor. So you're seeing the progression of the orc armies amassing
Uruk
armies. That's right. Yes.
Because you're fine. Apparently, orcs are such a non-problem for you that you can just disregard them, and everyone you're fighting are Uruks.
Uruks, yes. Urukai.
Is that the plural form?
Yes.
Okay, good to know.
So, yes, you're. I keep saying orcs, but you are fighting
the thing
Uruk-hai.
Is, because there aren't any actual orcs here, you're only fighting Urukai, like, they might as well just be orcs. Everyone calls them orcs because in this... because there's no orcs.
Okay.
So the,
sure.
So the Urukai are the orcs.
Which brings me to the other topic of debate here, which is...
Urukai rights.
The nemesis system.
Yes. An interesting mechanic, for sure.
Pretty much your only objective in this game is to take out war chiefs and captains in the Uruk ranks. Now, the problem with this is twofold.
Okay.
For someone who likes easy games.
Okay.
It's very interesting. I find it very intuitive and creative and original, but it's still very difficult to get past, which is, one, just because you killed a captain does not mean another one's not going to fill his place.
Oh, yeah. They even straight up said if you wait long enough, or if a regular Uruk manages to kill you...
which happens to me a lot. I've never
then had, they'll be promoted.
I've never had to wait long enough for someone to fill the space because someone has always killed me.
Yeah. I spent one evening. It took me like 4 hours. All I did was sit there hunting captain after captain, trying to kill every single one before another one came in. And I did it. I managed to. But like I said, it took me 4 hours straight, and then they just gradually filled back up.
Right, which drives me crazy, because I understand if they kill you, they'll become captain, that's fine,
that
for
makes
making
sense.
It harder. But just waiting a while, because there's no way I'm going to get through this entire game without people coming back in.
Well, I think the problem is, it structures it in a way that's like, hey, you go kill captains. That's what you should do. And yet, It makes it to where you want to kill all of them. But it makes it to where you can't kill all of them because they regenerate. And that can become frustrating.
The feeling of progress is quickly lost because you just feel like you're re-cleaning messes you've already cleaned up.
Yeah, exactly that.
Now, the second spot of trouble is the actual nemesis thing, which is these enemies remember you. They remember fighting you.
Oh, yeah.
And they will come looking for you.
Because when you kill them, oftentimes they don't die. In the classic storytelling manner, they manage to pop up again later.
Yes.
And I like this. I really like what they did with this, just this respawning system, because they change. Yeah, they remember you. If you show up again later, they're like, "Oh, you're the bloke who shot me in the butthole." and I mean, that's not actually a thing, but like, let's say you did kill them with an arrow. Well, then they're going to look like they got shot with an arrow.
Yes.
If you kill them with fire, they'll be all burnt up the next time you meet them. And I really like how you can see that they're different because of how you killed them.
Mm-hmm.
And their stats will change too. Like,
I was actually just about to bring this up because they do throw you a bone. even though they give you captains that come back and people that specifically have it out for you, depending on what you do to them, they give you that captain or that war chief's stats, like things about them, such as the things they're afraid of.
Yeah.
The things that they're weak to, the things that they're strong to. So if you're really good at sneak attacks, you want to go wipe out all those captains that are weak to sneak attacks. Or if you're good with the bow or whatnot.
And I find it's not even as much as this is their weakness, as much as it's nice knowing what they're not weak against. So, like, yeah. I've got a guy that's like, you can't jump over him.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I tried to anyway.
It didn't work.
But, like, it's good knowing, oh, this one cannot be damaged by ranged attacks.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to try to plink him off in the beginning.
That's
I'm going to go
tried.
In quick.
There was one captain that literally chased me up to the roof of a building in one of the strongholds.
Nice.
And I was just trapped up there because it was him and 10 of his buddies.
Ugh.
Just standing there under, like, on the ground. None of them were going to come up.
Oh, yeah. So
but
they were just at the bottom.
They were
just
standing there
you.
Waiting for me. And there happened to be a quest thing right on top of the roof right there. So I was like, maybe I'll go do this quest, which is literally a fight pit.
Yeah,
I had
I know
to
exactly
fight 8,000, and I died.
That was
but
a tough one.
At first, I tried to stand on top of the roof and like keep shooting arrows.
Plank
at him
off.
He wasn't weak to arrows, so I couldn't. It didn't do anything.
There was a special guy. He was cannot be damaged by regular attacks.
Yeah,
cannot be damaged by range. Cannot be damaged by fire, and he will summon more people to come help every so often.
Yeah,
I can't beat him. I don't know how to hurt him. I don't.
You have to hurt him
I
where
think
it really counts.
My only thought was
you
that...
You have to hurt his feelings.
Oh, okay. he smells bad.
Don't tell me, tell him.
And, yeah, I think the method was a rack up combo and then apply it to him.
Yeah.
And this game, the fighting mechanics are fantastic. They'll do a thing to where whenever you build up your hit combo, you can spend it on additional actions like this kill attack. Or if you use it on, say, a captain, it'll just be a damaging, unblockable attack.
Yeah, the combos are built up when you hit so many times without taking hits yourself.
Yes.
And, yeah, I love the insta-kill perk on that one.
I also actually have a perk that is I get to take one extra hit before it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fantastic for building. Because, like, you can add runes to your weapons, which is basically attachments that do special bonus effects.
Yes.
One of the ones I have is if you get a hit combo of, I think it was 30, I have, like, a 50% chance to regenerate my health.
Nice.
And, like, fully healed.
That's pretty good.
So, and I like that because that encouraged combat. And, like, oh, I'm not doing the best on health. Well, I better keep hitting.
Better go hit some.
Better not get
which
hit.
Which is, you know, that's kind of how I am in that Heroes of Hero Watch game. Whenever I play the...
Ah, yes.
The whatever.
Keep
the
pressure.
Warlock. Yeah.
That's kind of how the Warlock was meant to be played, I think.
Let's cut to the ad break real quick, and then we'll go back to talking about the cool mechanics of this game.
Wonderful idea. Boy, I'm Oothrog Pig Diddler. I'm here to tell you how I'm going to be the best Uruk this side of Mordor. I'm going to be the war chief, but first, I need to be a captain. And for me to be a captain, I need a bunch of piggies like you to follow my lead. This accent's getting in the wrong direction.
It's
getting kind of like
southern.
Southern
car
supposed
salesman.
To be British.
You're going into southern car salesman. Okay.
You
what will it take to get you in this battle wagon?
I've lost composure now. You want to fight by my side? I've lost it.
Just it's a recruitment ad.
Recruit, go fight for Uruk-hai Pig Diddler. End of ad break. I couldn't do it.
Can you give me the name again?
Uthrog Pigdiddler.
There was so much accent in that first name. And then Pigdiddler.
God. Because, like, they have names like that.
They do. All of them have names.
Arrok the Barbarian, or I think there was one that was straight up Ulug the Dumb, or Ulug the Stupid, or whatever.
Cool, now that I know that Pigdiddler is not just a surname, it's an occupation, I don't want to know what it is.
That's why I made an extra point to call his, his underlings piggies. Or I was going to, if I could keep my composure.
Okay, we're
going
to move on.
Because I thought it would be nice and uncomfortable.
Okay.
Anyway, mechanics. Right, so.
Okay, so one thing that immediately, I don't want to say overwhelms me when I get into games, but if I get into a game and then I look at my character screen and there's all these slots and all of these icons and I don't know what they are.
Keep going.
It tends to throw me off a little bit because then I'm like, oh great, now there's a bunch of stats I'm going to have to remember and there's a bunch, which are, it's not fair to immediately get scared of that stuff because they are generally easy to pick up, but with Shadow Mordor, I did immediately go, oh my gosh, there's all these icons and slots that I've not seen in any other game before. I don't know what this interface is, but very, very quickly I was like, this is actually preferable because you never change out your weapons. You have three weapons. You've got a dagger for stealth attacks.
Which isn't even a dagger, it's just a broken sword.
You've got your regular sword for melee, and then you have basically a wraith bow, where you really only fire your...
That's right, you don't shoot arrows, you shoot magic arrows.
You shoot magic arrows, and you only have so many of those, but you can get perks to up the amount of those, just like you can get perks to up your amount of focus, or to help you in melee combat, or to help you with stealth attacks and whatnot. These are the runes that Brain was talking about earlier. And I like this, because I don't have to constantly compare weapons and stuff to see which one I like better, or which one follows my stats more. I have three weapons, and depending on the ones that I'm most comfortable using with, I can upgrade those more, or I can upgrade them all equally, because there are quests for specific weapons and specific fighting styles. And I just find that, like, really easy, because you just do the one thing at a time.
And they were clever with choosing how you get these things, because there's basically three ways to improve yourself. Your standard upgrades, you add runes, and you upgrades, runes. I think that's it, actually. Am I missing one?
No, I think there's only two. There's, like, the character upgrades, and then there's the runes that upgrade your weapons.
Yeah, okay. So, it's very clever with how they did this, because there's more than one currency, which in most games is, like, that's a red flag. But more times than not, because...
What are the currencies?
You have power. You have... Sandry.
Oh, there's an Elvish word, yes. I can't remember what it is.
The M currency.
It's not Miss Andry, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I know it's not. So you have power, you have the M thing, and technically speaking, the runes.
It is referred to as just M lot of the time, though.
Okay. Well, because, like, it's got its own character.
Yeah.
But yeah, M. And
the M's.
You get power by completing quests and killing captains.
Yes.
Simple enough. Power only does one thing. And that is unlocks the next tier of player upgrades.
Yes, your skill upgrades.
And I believe you get, like, a skill point when you hit a certain M level, I think it was. Or it might be experience, I can't recall.
I didn't get far enough in.
But basically, to buy the skills that you've unlocked by hitting these power, you use the skill points you get.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the M currency, which you get by either deconstructing runes or by finding collectibles on the map, which they never told me, and I wish they did, because I had been ignoring them, and I've been wondering, why can't I afford to upgrade any of my weapons?
Yeah, I eventually told you.
You had to tell me, yeah.
They do tell you that.
I must have missed it somewhere in those text walls.
Yeah, because that was like one of the first things I picked up on, because you know me, I like to collect the objects.
So. Whereas when I jumped in, I immediately went towards let's go kill a bunch of captains.
I was upgrading my weapons really quickly because I was going... All I wanted to do was collect the objects because that was easiest for me. I was just climbing up stuff and grabbing the things and going back down. I didn't have to fight anybody usually.
Whereas, yeah, I was intentionally ignoring them in favor for something more stimulating.
Yeah, so.
Otherwise, that's it. You can get runes, which are found when you kill a captain, they drop a random rune.
Yeah, and then you can either... It's not necessarily random.
It's totally random. Well, are you saying, like, it's associated with, like, that captain?
No, it's associated with how you killed them.
Is it really?
Yes. So if you murder a captain with a sword, you get a sword rune. If you do it with a bow, you get a bow rune. If you do a sneak attack, you get a rune for your dagger.
I hadn't noticed that.
That's how those drop.
Huh. You can even get a perk later on where it's a threaten, where you, if you take a guy, because you can take a regular Uruk and, like, memory probe them.
Yeah. That's always, you know...
It weirds me out.
I have such an issue with it because whenever I get the chance to do it, there's usually an icon above the Uruk that you can do that. You should do that too because they have information on the other captains. So it's not just any random Uruk. It's like one has a symbol over his head that says you can do that. Except I'm in the middle of like a whole squad of them whenever I come across one.
Yeah.
I can't just grab one and start interrogating him in the middle of a fight.
I've done it. It's sketchy because, yeah, it takes a moment, so you gotta not get hit while you do it. But you can do it. You can get a perk that also insta does it, which is nice. But it doesn't have to be that guy. That particular, yeah, they mark out the ones that have extra info, but if you just want to know the name of a captain and, like, where he is, a regular Uruk will do just fine.
Which I didn't need, because I already had, like, a whole line of captains that I hadn't killed yet, and then I just kept stumbling across more,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, the only time I ever needed that if I was intentionally going after one. But
yeah.
If you find one that's specially marked to have intel, which they call them worms...
Right.
Or an other captain, you can harvest... And the information of a captain, like their weaknesses and their strengths.
Yes.
You get more information doing it that
more
way.
More useful information.
Oh, right. The nemesis system, right.
Yes.
So, I did learn how to guarantee kill. They won't come back.
And is it cut their head off?
You had to cut their head off. And it's specifically, you need to do a combo kill move while they're stunned.
Mm.
Doing that will decapitate them, causing that particular Uruk to not come back later.
Now, a good thing about this game is it's not hard to stun an enemy, because this is one of my very favorite things about combat. Blocking is so much easier in this game than I think any other game, because it tells you when to block.
Oh, yeah. If all you do is the parry whatever, you can just stand in any crowd and not get hurt.
Which is my favorite thing. So
it's constantly quick time events.
An Uruk... It's, well, kind of.
Technically.
But an Uruk will come up and swing at you. And if any at all, it doesn't even have to be the one you're focused on. Any Uruk at all comes up to hit you, the Y button or whatever you're using to play will appear above their head. And that's your block button. And then you will immediately, like, you hit that button, you will immediately block the attack. And you can get a perk that will instantly stun them.
Oh, yeah.
If you block.
And it's nice because... It'll interrupt whatever you're doing. Whatever.
Yeah.
If you're in the middle of an attack, it'll stop your attack in favor for the parry.
Yeah, so my favorite two things in combat are the block and the dodge roll. Because, yeah, you can be standing in the middle. This is how it works. To have you in Mordor running around with nothing but enemies around you, and you can actually make it through. Because you can be standing in the middle of like 30 guys... And still take them all down because you are stunning and blocking them every step of the way. And so you're standing in the middle of a bunch of stunned Uruks.
There is a catch. If somebody attacks you while you're parry blocking. So if two people attack you at the same exact time, you can only block one. However, you can get a perk that lets you block two at the same time.
That's pretty good.
Which is cool, because the Wraith guy shows up to block the second one.
In that situation, I generally block one and then dodge roll out of the way.
Well, I'm saying, like, you can't avoid two because it's happening the same moment.
I've not...
Which, then dodge rolling just away is the safe choice instead of trying to block.
Right. So I've not really run into that problem too much.
Only when I've been absolutely surrounded and only, like, twice in the entire ordeal. It's very uncommon.
So that is... I super love it because it doesn't... I have a problem in a lot of video games where if there's too many things on the screen, be it too many enemies, or even if I'm with like three other people playing the game, I get confused really fast. And then I start not knowing where to hit, and then I'm not monitoring myself because I get too panicked. I don't look at my HUD, basically. So I get getting confused really easily usually ends up with my death because I don't pay attention to my health.
Yeah,
don't
you
pay
get attention overwhelmed.
To what I'm doing. Yeah, so this happens to me a lot in video games, which is why I don't really play a lot of the combat-oriented ones. But the way that this does it is it gives you a wide enough view, and you know, you are, while you're a dingy ranger, you're different enough from the surroundings and your enemies that I don't get lost in the sea. And the Y appearing over the heads of, like, four different Uruks is not difficult at all for me to parse out.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't get in the way. It just tells me, here, block, and you can get out of this.
The UI in this game, in all aspects, is very well designed. From, like, how many arrows you have, to how much focus you have.
How fast you
go. Your health, your combo, what you need to do.
It's
like,
super good.
It's a very well-made UI.
So if I wasn't a stressed out individual that doesn't like getting beat a lot, I'd play this game a lot more because it is, it's just, it's different in so many ways from a lot of the games that I've played. And it's very intuitive to like a player and just, it knows what it's about, the game itself. Like it knows what it's about and it just helps you do that. It's really good that way.
And I find that remark kind of funny because Warner Brothers has gotten a bit of community flack because the Mad Max game and the Batman Arkham games, same exact combat system.
Really?
Yeah. And that was a common criticism specifically with Mad Max is, why is this man dehydrated in the desert fighting just as effectively as Batman?
Yeah. It's a good,
but yeah, they
question.
All
probably
Warner Brothers games
a different combat for Mad Max.
I mean, maybe I'm told it's still a good game. I've not played.
Now, as far as Talion in Shadow of Mordor, I couldn't tell you what the state of that man is. Is he actually alive? Is he kind of dead? Is the Wraith thing boosting him? I don't know. I've never seen him eat or drink. He's running around a wasteland.
I think he is technically considered dead. Cause,
I think
like,
he's dead.
The respawn system is acknowledged. Because like, if you die to a guy, he becomes captain. And then you find the captain later. He's like, oh, need another weapon.
Yeah, they acknowledge that you died. And you do come back at those towers. The forge tower things.
So they acknowledge your death. It's not like, you died. That didn't actually happen ordeal.
So my question as to the storyline is like, why the heck am I actually here? Because you know, this is a prequel to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
This doesn't help anyone.
Which threw me
off. Lord of the Rings still happens.
I thought, didn't the Uruk, like, weren't they just then being hatched?
They were new on the scene. I wouldn't say...
And yet, in this game, they're everywhere.
They're in Mordor.
Yeah. So do you think like there is already a lot? It might just also be they made this decision for game purposes and it
Maybe.
Shouldn't be taken that seriously.
It's a non-canonical, yeah. I think, thing, but it does use canonical elements. So I'm not sure why Talion's there. I don't know how he got bonded to this elf wraith. I don't know why he doesn't get wraith powers and the elf does. There's a lot of questions as to, like, why anything's happening. But as far as the things that you are doing, makes a lot of sense gameplay-wise.
Oh, yeah. I agree entirely. Can I talk about, real quick, we're running out of time, but I have this one nemesis. God, I'm sick of him.
You can talk
about I can't even remember his name. All I know is he was a long-range guy.
Mm-hmm.
And his perks were that he's an ambusher, so it's, which describes him as shows up at inopportune times.
Yeah.
My God, was that accurate? Oh, because I'm sitting here, all I want to do is go kill captains. So I'm going from captain to captain, and I'm not that high level. It's still a challenge. So when I'm busy doing my thing, and then he pops out of the corner going, "Hey, turd, I'm about to shoot your ass." And then he starts shooting my ass.
And then you die.
And then I die because I can't handle two captains when one of them's ranged.
Yeah.
It's rough.
He knows, man. He's watching.
And then I've gone and I've killed him. And then he comes back. And then I killed him again. Then he comes back. I had to have killed him at least five times.
He's resilient.
He was. Every time he was stronger, too. So, like...
But you got him.
Ugh. Eventually, I actually killed him. And man, was that a relief.
This is the frustrating portion of the game we were talking about where, making headway is very difficult.
I was rambling to you real hard about how this one particular boy.
I mean, fair is fair. That's one of the good reasons for the open world nature of this is while you can just run into an area that you may not be prepared for, you can very well run into a different area very easily until you're ready to come back to the other thing.
I accidentally killed a captain once.
Yeah, I've done that on
a couple
times.
I guess they're supposed to be a big deal.
Yeah.
And I was just on my way to one, and I jumped off a ledge, and I decided to stealth jump kill whatever was below me, which apparently was a captain that happened to be insta-death by stealth kill.
Nice.
So I'm like, oh, I guess I've just...
Yeah, there's okay. A lot of captains, so... It's not hard to accidentally come across one. So, I think that's the episode.
I think that's good, yeah. Ratbag is cool, but you'll learn
about
him.
If anyone wants to talk to me about Lord of the Rings, please at me, because I will talk about Lord of the Rings all day long.
Yes, at her. Not me. I will not talk to you about Lord of the Rings.
I did make him watch the entire trilogy in one sitting, and I don't think he remembers most of it because it was 5 a.m. by the time we finished.
It was a long day.
It was a long day.
It was a good movie series.
We're gonna
I made you watch a Goofy movie the other day, so I'm not about
this
to judge.
This is not comparable in any way, shape, or form. A Goofy movie is like maybe an hour.
Goof Troop, Shadow of Pete.
Jesus. Okay. So, let's hit the housekeeping.
Okay. Housekeeping. If you'd like this, give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. I think we're on Pocket Casts, but I don't know how their system works. I know they have charts.
I've never even heard of it.
Pocket Casts, we got a small number of people coming in from there.
Okay.
So
sorry.
We have Pocket Cast listeners.
I hadn't heard of it, but hello.
I keep track of our stats.
Whoever you are.
Don't worry, Pocket Cast, I got you. So, on your preferred medium of whatever, rate us. Good ratings means that we go higher up on the charts, which means more people see us and gives me a greater sense of satisfaction. Stroke my ego.
I like to be validated.
Validate Justine. If you want to provide feedback, let's say you want to tell us how bad at our jobs we are, you can email us at cozycoop@thelizardrock.com. You can also find us on Twitter at cozycoopodcast and on Facebook under the same name. Tell us about a game you want us to talk about, perhaps.
This one was a suggestion.
Yeah, someone suggested this one, and then I bothered. We got it and then played it, and like, oh, this is actually really good.
I have to say, I was the last person on the planet to hear about Shadow of Mordor, because I didn't hear about it until this person suggested it. And then when I went to go say, hey, did you guys know there's an open world Middle Earth game? Everyone around me was like, yeah, that came out like 5 years ago.
Oh yeah, that's because they've already made and then forgotten about a sequel, Shadow of War.
Yeah.
Which I'm told they really improved the rival system. Anyway.
So.
Send us info and all that. TheLizardRock.com is where we get our news from. I write news there Monday through Friday. Most of the time. I've got a special thing going on. A bunch of guest writers have provided reviews of popular games. For example, I just recently put up one about a God of War review by Max Taylor, I believe his name was.
So check that out.
I got some guest reviews if you want to look at them. Support writers.
Support the other writers, yeah.
That's all. end bit that I don't remember because you always say it.
Okay, are we done?
Yes.
Okay, that's it for us today. Cozy up with us next week. Oh, you know what I want
to
say?
Oh, man, way to tease me. Got it built up and
you
everything.
You know what I want to say that I, you know, we haven't done?
What's that?
Thank you for listening.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever's out there.
That's a much nicer approach than I was going to go.
Super appreciate you listening. So thanks very much for sitting down with us for an hour and cozy up with us next week on the Cozy Cop.
Should we do Good Cop, Bad Cop?
No.
Okay.
We're leaving now.
Outro music.